Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in.
Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to be in Genesis 1, verse 26 through 28. We're going to kind of camp there this morning. The Lord's been speaking to me specifically about identity, about the image we hold of ourselves and how crucial that is. And I want to talk a little bit about that today because I think that the body of Christ has an opinion of itself that may not be the opinion that God holds of her. God may have an opinion of you that you may not have of you. And the problem with that is when we have an opinion of ourselves that is not God's opinion, God always thinks way better of you than what you do.
That's the truth.
Now we'll talk about that. Now, here's Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, then God said, Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Notice what it says. God said, everyone say, God said. How many of you know when God wants to do something, he says? In God's word, in his breath, is a measure of himself. When God speaks something, and we would often, like last week, if you remember last week, at the beginning of when I started preaching, I think there were two or three people that I prophesied over. Do you remember that? And look, I believe that was God speaking. Could I miss God? Yes, of course I could. That's an understanding we have here. I don't believe I did. If I believed I did, I would have adjusted. But I believe I was hearing something from God for Carl and for you. Tell me your first name again.
Greg.
I'm sorry, Greg. I'll eventually get it. If you tell me 25 more times... Yeah, in the directory, there you go. And there was someone else, but who was it?
Ryan.
Yeah. So the truth is that if that was God, then that was God was releasing in his breath that he put on the inside of me. You say, whoa, wait. What do you mean in the inside of you? Where did God put his breath on the inside of you? Well, if you look in chapter 2 of the book of Genesis, it says that God formed a ball of mud and formed it into a man, and then what did he do? It says he breathed his breath into mankind. Mankind has the breath of God, the breath of life, the words of God, okay? Remember when Jesus was talking to his disciples and he said, hey, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and all these people start leaving, right? Because they don't want to hear the hard word. People want the bless me word, but they don't want the hard word. People want the benefit of God oftentimes without wanting God himself that changes us. People want the benefit of God. They want his pixie dust. Bless you. They want the blessing of God, but they don't want to have to transform to receive the blessing. And so his disciples, when he said that, that was a hard word. You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, or else you can't be called my disciples. You got to eat of me, of what I do. When you walk with me, you got to want to go where I go and do what I do, and you got to become who I want you to become so you can do what I want you to do. Are you with me? And people started leaving. Like Lamont's leaving right now. They just got up and left, right? Yeah. And so he's not leaving, no. So he's gonna make a lap, you know. All right. So listen, he says to his disciples, he looks at them and says to his disciples, say to his disciples. Look, he's not talking to the world out there. They got other issues, they got bigger fish to fry. But from the ones who's wanting to follow him, he says to them this. He says, are you going to leave me too? And they said this to him. They said, you have the word of life. Where else would we go? You have the breath of God on the inside of you. You speak, and the words that you speak help form us. We're your disciples. Where else could we possibly go? Because they were hungry. They wanted to become what God wanted them to become, so they could do what God called them to do. Are you with me? And so here we see that God said, there before this, in the first couple of verses of Genesis 1, in the very beginning of the Bible, you have to understand how important this concept is. It's in the very first chapter of the Bible. How many of you know that oftentimes when someone's telling a story, the very first things that are said in that story become the most crucial to understand the rest of the story? Are you with me? And that's just storytelling. That's not fact or reality. In this case, this is real history. And the very beginnings cause or become the foundation for what is to become. Are you with me? And so God's making it very clear to all mankind that his breath is absolutely crucial, that there was darkness over the face of the waters of the deep, chaos, craziness. And then God said, immediately before he said, it says, and Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters of the deep. So there, the earth was in craziness, there was darkness, there was chaos, it lacked the order of God. And it says, and Holy Spirit hovered over the waters of the earth. Now when you say hovered, it's not like a helicopter. It was like a mother hen hovers over her eggs. She's incubating what's about to happen. She's protecting. She's warming. She's preparing for what's about to take place. Before God ever releases something into you, the Spirit of God hovers over you, is incubating. And look, it's not easy sometimes. There could be chaos going on in your life, darkness going on in your life. Has anyone here ever experienced chaos or darkness or trouble of any kind? Listen, when that happens, get ready. If you're a disciple of Jesus, get ready. Because before you even know it, Holy Spirit is hovering you. You say, well, I can't feel it. No, I get it. Oftentimes you don't feel what Holy Spirit is doing, even though Holy Spirit is doing it. Holy Spirit is at work long before you ever knew Holy Spirit was at work. And Holy Spirit's hovering over your life, preparing you to receive what God is about to say to you. Because the next thing that happens is Holy Spirit hovers over the earth, over the face of the waters of the deep. It says, and then God said. That clap was supposed to be louder than that. That was a weak clap. There it is. And God said, let there be light. In the universe, every atom in the universe responds to the order of the living God. From his throne, he recognizes that something is about to be done, and he says it, and it's done. The power of God in his word forms universes. How much more can it affect your life? Shoo. Here's what you have to see. So God does that. He sets this up and he says, okay, I'm going to form the universe, the sun, the moon, the clouds, the stars, the sky, the land, the waters. I'm going to form it all with my spoken word. But then I'm going to take the masterpiece, the pinnacle, the whole purpose behind the backdrop of the universe. Do you understand? You are his intention. Not the spotted seal, not the baby whale, not the owls. That's all backdrop, and it's all good. It says when God created the grass, he said it was good. He said when he created the animals, he said it was good. He said when he created the moon and the stars, it was good. When he created the dry land and separated the dry land from the water, God said, he said, it's good. Tell someone, say, it's good. But he didn't say that about you. He didn't. You know what he said about you? When he was done creating you, let's read what it says. I'm not mad, I'm just excited, that's all, okay? He said this, he said, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over all the creeping things that creep on the earth. God created man in his own image. He created them male and female. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 31. And God saw all that he made. Behold, it was very good. There was evening and morning in the sixth day. See, God looks at creation and he says it is good, but when he looks at you, he said, you are very good. Or said a different way, the literal translation of that, you're gooder than good. The good that I made is to bring out your best. He created the earth so he could have a context for a relationship with you and I. That's the whole point of the earth, the moon, the stars, all of it. All of it is so he could have a relationship with you. Now think about that. The God that spit out the universe from his breath and formed you with that same breath said that the universe is good, but said you are very good. Think about what his intent is. What's his point? Why is he doing all this? He's not doing this so you make a better planet. He's made the planet to make a better you. God said, he spoke, he used his breath, that creative, beautiful breath. He said, let us design and create. You are not happenstance. You are not the product of a mistake or even the intention of your mama and papa. Maybe they wanted to form you, or maybe they didn't. That's not relevant in the sense of who you're created to be. God himself designed you fearfully and wonderfully. You are made in the image and likeness of God. Are you with me? He designed every hair that would fall out of your head. Come on, somebody. Now I'm not going to say that because you all focus on that then. No, I'm not going to do that. Listen, you are made, every one of you. You said, well, how could he do that? That would take an infinite amount of time. He's an infinite God. You say that would take not all the computers on the earth could figure that out. No, you're right, but God can. That's who he is. So not only did he make you or form you, design you, create you in his image, it says the way that he designed you and created you is according to, he said, our image and likeness. Now, when he said our, who was he talking about? Well, we already saw that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters of the deep. So we see Holy Spirit, and we see God the Father. Where's Jesus? Well, let me take you to John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14. And so who is this Word? I mean, are we just talking about a metaphor? Are we just talking about something kind of esoteric in the cloud? He's the Word. No. We get very concrete in verse 14. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. His name is Jesus. Oh, someone give God a hand clap right now. So we see in the very beginning, in the creation, in the formation, when God said that he was going to create you, we see the Godhead fully there. No one was missing. No one came along later. They were all there thinking about you and saying, oh, we're going to... Now listen, you have to understand, when it says that they made you in the image and likeness of God, you got to understand, Holy Spirit is head over heels infatuated and in love with the Father and the Son. The Son is completely inoculated with love for the Father and Holy Spirit. The Father is head over heels, gaga, about Holy Spirit and Jesus. They are enamored with it. They are so deeply in love. They self-give and self-share and sacrifice for each other, so much so that they give, but the other tries to outgive them, because that's what agape love, the love of God, really is. And they're so enamored. And when they said they were going to make you in his image and likeness, they're like, can we make man? Oh, Father, I would love if when we made man, because we got to have someone else to love. This love is so big on the inside of us. It's just oozing out of us, and we need someone else to love, because love is so big. Love is so awesome. Love is so amazing. It's got tentacles, and it's growing, and we've got to create this thing called mankind, and we'll create a universe as a backdrop, and we're going to create this planet called Earth, and we're going to put mankind on the Earth, and we're just going to have a big love fest. But listen, we're not going to create them like the animals. They're not going to be like monkeys turned into man. Come on, somebody. Oh, I know. I'll tell you what they're going to be. They're going to look like, Father, this is Jesus talking. He's like, Father, why don't you make them look like you? And the Holy Spirit says, yeah, Father, let's make them look like you. But Jesus, they need to look like you too. And Jesus is like, yeah, but Holy Spirit, they should look like you. Yeah, but you know what? They shouldn't just look like us. What if they acted like us? What if they loved the way we loved? What if we gave them the capacity, unlike all the animals on the planet, what if we gave them the capacity to love with that big kind of love, that sacrificial kind of love, that self-giving and self-sharing kind of love? What if we made them like that? Because, look, lions are going to kill and eat for themselves. That's not how we are. We give to each other. We don't take from each other. And God made mankind like that. When he created them, he created them in his image and his likeness. He made man to look like God, and he made man to act like God. Whew. This morning I got up and I read in constant devotion. I read what our authors write. And I read this morning what a young man who I highly esteem wrote. He wrote this thing about the identity of man. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it be good just to have him come and him share that, so you can hear directly from him what that looks like. So, Caleb, why don't you come? Would you give me a hand clap right now?
Morning. So I'm going to pull up what I wrote just so I get it right. I don't want to mislead anyone. So while I'm doing that, you guys can follow Constant Devotional on Facebook. Yes, a church sanctioned Facebook viewing. I know. How rare. So we're reading in Isaiah, And in Isaiah 58, verse 8, it says in part of the verse, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And previous weeks, Dad's been talking about glory and what it means. And what it means is the manifest opinion of God. So his how he sees things. And the interesting thing about God's opinion is that unlike our opinion, like so for example, I think liver and onions are terrible, Dad really likes it. That's just an opinion. God's opinion is fact, right? He says that you were created perfectly.
Yeah.
Fact. It's not like human opinion, which can be wrong. And so his opinion of us, his fact about us, is our rear guard. So when the enemy comes and says something that is against his opinion of our identity, his opinion guards us. So kind of as a picture for this, how many of us have seen Lord of the Rings, the second movie? Mm-hmm. Okay, so basically what happens is a country is under attack. They're getting outflanked. And so when two armies fight against each other, what one army tries to do is flank another army and get behind them. And it's kind of like a pincer movement like this. And one of the goals of that is to corral them into an environment that is favorable for the pincering army. And what this does is it gives them advantageous ability. So in the movie, the orcs and the bad guys corral Rohan into Helm's Deep, which is basically a castle on the side of a mountain. So they're stuck. Their backs are against the wall. And they start fighting. So they've been outflanked, outmaneuvered, and they're stuck. As the scene progresses and they're fighting and fighting and all looks lost, the music starts to change and it picks up and picks up. And at the climax, there's Gandalf and he comes in tons of light, the music's blaring, and he comes and destroys the enemy and protects their rear, essentially. And so that's what God does for us. He, through his opinion, he says when the enemy comes, when the enemy says that you do not have enough money to pay your bills, his opinion of you, that you are a tither and a giver, destroys that enemy's argument right now. Yes. When the enemy comes and says that you need to be self-conscious and that you're not good enough, bam, God's opinion that you are perfectly made comes, and you're saved from the enemy.
Cool, that's good. That's good. Here. So, you know, that portion of the scripture here, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. That he's just talking about your backside. Like, how many of you felt like you've been stabbed in the back? How many of you feel like you're getting your butt kicked? Well, maybe that is happening because you really don't believe who God said that you are. Y'all with me on that? It's possible that the enemy is able to attack your rear guard because you don't trust in who God says that you are. You still battle with that. You still struggle with that. And may I submit to you that you have to, the Word of God says that we labor to enter into his rest. Well, wait, that's kind of counterintuitive, isn't it? Well, no, not really. We all do that every week. We work 5 days a week so we can rest on the weekend. You labor so you can enter into rest. Are you with me? And so, but with God, it's a little bit different in the sense that we have to confront the junk that has been deposited in here. And in a couple weeks, I'm going to go deeper into this concept. But I'm going to talk about how it is that you can affect how others see themselves. You have the ability to affect not only how you see you, but you have the ability to affect how others see themselves. I'll just give you a little taste of that. See, you're to be the imager of God. What? Well, think about it. He said, I'm creating you, I'm forming you, I'm designing you carefully, not to be just willy-nilly whatever you think you should be, because chances are what you think you should be is vastly different from what God thinks you should be. And it would behoove you. It would only be to your benefit to find out what God thinks about you so you can begin to conform to that image rather than a false image of yourself.
Because you remember what God said about false images. Oh, come on, somebody. No, I can't dig into that one completely, but we will. Let me give you just another little taste of that. I believe that prophetic words can turn from prophetic words to witchcraft, actually people within the church doing witchcraft. Now, I'm not talking about the black pointy hat and the black cat that you have to kick for a magic spell. No, wait, you don't have to kick the cat. Never mind. Scratch that part. But, you know, the cauldron and the, my pretty. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the witchcraft that God talks about in the Word. He says to his people, he says, hey, you're committing witchcraft. And they're like, what? Not us. Oh, yeah. I got to tell you that if you embrace a false image of yourself, a false image like, you know, like an idol, it becomes an idol to you and you'll worship at the feet of that thing. That's another message. Again, I'll dig into that in a couple weeks. See, suffice it to know, we don't have to do that because we're not gonna have false images about ourselves. Because God created and designed us. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna lean into God for Him to tell us who we really are. That is different than who we think we are. May I submit to you that right now, in this moment, you have an opinion about you that is formed from your life, your disappointments, your discouragements, your successes, your accomplishments, your work, your physical appearance. But not just what you hold within you, but what others think about you. Because even though they may not say anything, oftentimes you can see it in their eyes, or at least you think you understand what it is they're thinking. And what they think about you may not be right. I thought my middle name was Moron growing up. My dad would use that phrase. And look, he didn't really literally mean that we were morons, but when we did something wrong, he would moniker us with that word. Well, how many of you know when your dad says that kind of stuff to you, it can form you. It can create an image on the inside of you. How many of you know when people hurt you? That can create an image on the inside of you that you hold to. How many of you know when people don't value you? God's saying you're priceless, but when people around you don't value you the way, hey, look, deep down inside, that child on the inside of you knows you're priceless. You came out of the womb priceless. You came out of the womb accepted. You came out of the womb just pure and perfect and not having to cover yourself up. Come on, you see these, my grandkids, man, the younger ones, not the older ones, but the younger ones, they come out of the bathtub and they're like, hey, I'm here. They have no shame on it. It's like, oh, cover yourself up. They don't need to do that. You know why? There's no shame on them. They have no bad image of themselves. We are created without a bad image of ourselves. Why is it we get this bad image? Because of what life puts on us. Now, it's our job to labor to enter into His rest, to discover so that we can find out who we really are, because life itself has told you a lie. And we can no longer embrace the false images of who we are. We must learn who we are based on not what the preacher says, not what your parents say, not what someone else says, but what God says. That is the right image of who you are because He made you, He created you, He designed you to look like Him and to act like Him. And anything, any image you have of yourself that doesn't look and doesn't act like God is a false image. See what it says? Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image and likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea. After you become, after you discover who you are, then you can do. This is what Leif talked about when he was here. After you discover the right image of yourself, then you can do the right things. If you're carrying a false image of yourself, you do the wrong things. Notice what Paul said. He said, oh, wicked man that I am. He says, the things I don't want to do, I do, and the things I do, I don't want to do. And then he goes into the next chapter. That's verse 7. He goes into chapter 8, and it says, but what can separate me from the love of God? Not height, nor depth, nor principality, nor power, nor any other creature, nor anything can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. I say to you today, the love of God contains every good thing that God has for you. It's what God intended. It's why he created you. It's how he created you. He created you in a perfect, loving environment. There was nothing but love found in heaven when you became an idea on the inside of God's mind. But he didn't stop with an idea. He carried through and said, Bill is going to be perfect. I'm going to have Bill look like this. I'm going to have Bill act like this. And you know what it's going to be? It's going to be the image of God. So that when Bill stands on the earth, when he's walking in the fullness of who he is, then when devils look at him, they see God and they tremble. Why do you think they fell at Jesus' feet? Because he looked like his father and he acted like his father. Are you with me? Yes. And you are exactly the same. You are made in the image. You are made in the likeness of your Father in heaven, of your elder brother, of Holy Spirit. Watch what it says. It says then, he goes on in verse 27, it says, and God created man in his own image. It wasn't just an idea. He didn't just talk about it. It wasn't just flapping of gums. I hear a lot of that goes on. I hear a lot of, oh, that was a good word, Pastor. Okay, but does it transform you? Does it make you different on the inside? Well, no, we ain't going that far now. I like what you had to say, and it made me feel good, but don't ask me to change now. You went past preaching, you went to meddling then. Come on, somebody. It says, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. He created them what? Male and female. Hello. Don't go there. All right. Verse 28. So God designs them. He creates them. He gives them purpose. Then he blesses them. Now, I want you to see this. We're going to end with this. The word blessed, look it up in its Hebrew original meaning. It means to kneel. To kneel. Caleb, come up here. Come up, stand up here. I'm having him do it. I would rather be the one kneeling, but if I kneel, I may not get back up for a little while, all right? All right. But now I want you to get the picture of what the blessing of the Lord means. Okay? And so do you remember, you know, back in the round table days, King Arthur and the court and so on, the knights would want to come and serve under the king and his kingdom. Are you with me? And so to do that, though, there was a ceremony that they would go through, and it was the blessing of the knight or the knighting that would take place. And so the knight would kneel, and what would the king do? The king would take his royal sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, all right? He would take and he would tap it on each of the shoulders of the knight. And he would arise and call him something different. Arise, Knight Caleb. And what did that mean? It meant that this man now had full access to my kingdom, that his heart was now tied to my heart, that my ways have become his ways, that my thoughts have become his thoughts, that his purpose in life was to be part of this kingdom and serve under this king. And what did I do? I then released the fullness of the kingdom to him. My wealth, my influence, my goodness is released to him in that process. Good, you can be seated. I want you to see this one last thing. You say, that's all well and good, but that's round table stuff. That's not like how God does it. Oh, really? Well, let's look at Luke chapter 22, verse 41. I need your help for this. Help me interpret this verse. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw. Who are we talking about here? Jesus. Who is it? And where was he? Where was he? In the garden. And when was this? Immediately before what? His crucifixion, his death and burial and resurrection. This is one of the last things that we see he does independently. After that, he's taken in chains, right? But right here, it says he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he did what? He did what? He did what? And what did he say? This wasn't just a happenstance kneeling down. It says he knelt down and he began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And then he changes the earth. Why? Because he became who he was supposed to be, did what he was supposed to do, received the blessing of the Father to transform the earth. I don't believe for one minute that we have to have a majority to change the earth. I just believe where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. And all they have to do is believe who I made them to be. And you will be an earth changer. Stand up as we close. Whoo, thank you, Caleb. Thank you, that was a good word. That is a good word. How many feel God in this place? Bang your hands together. Yeah. Yep. Close your eyes for just a moment. I want to use the spiritual authority that I walk in to help you right now. If you feel like in any way the enemy, life, difficulty, struggle, successes, failures, whatever, has put a false identity on you, if you feel like in any way there is even the slightest remnant of a false identity in your life, I want to just speak with the breath of God over you and remove that thing from you. But I need you to respond to God right now. I need you, just everyone, close your eyes. Don't worry about anybody else. But if you feel like you have any false identity on you, just lift your hands up to God. Now, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, my elder brother, who he invited me to be a co-heir with him in every good thing that God has, by carrying the breath of God on the inside of me that, Father, you placed inside me first, I take that breath and I use it now in the name of Jesus. And I declare that false identities will surface and then be summarily rejected. That any false identity in those who have their hands raised now, that they would simply discover and see them for what they are, the masks that cover who they really are, that prevent the world from seeing them, and ultimately, Lord, from seeing you. So now, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I declare that the wind of the Holy Spirit would blow through this place and take those false images. And now, in the name of Jesus, blow them away. Blow, Holy Ghost, blow. Wind of God, blow. As those false identities surface, as they surface this week, as they surface this month, this year, let them blow. You're not responsible to deal with the false image of yourself that you don't know about, but you are responsible to deal with the false image that you do know about. When it surfaces, just say, come. Come, God, blow. Blow your wind. I give it to you, and I send it into the four corners of the earth to be separate from me, because I desire to be who you called me to be so that I could do what you call me to do. I want you to say that with me right now. Say, right now, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to cause any false identity, false image on the inside of me to surface. And give me the courage to give that image to you. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would take the wind of your wings and blow in my life and remove that identity, that false image from me, as far as the east is from the west, to the four corners of the earth. Blow, Holy Spirit, blow. Let your winds of the breath of God blow. And now, Father, say this with me. Now, Father, I ask, help me to have eyes wide open and see who you've called me to be. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what's going to happen. God's going to show you. He's going to speak to you. Some of you, he's going to prophesy to. Some of you, you're going to be in the Word and you're going to see it. Some of you, you're just going to just have a sense. You look at your dog and it's almost like your dog's talking to you. If your dog talks to you, call me, let me know. We'll pray for you, okay? I don't know. God can do whatever he wants to do. You say, well, where's the biblical precedent for that? Psalm 115. There's a God in heaven and he can do what he wants. Are you with me? Amen. Listen, it's time for us to become who he's called us to be so we can do what he calls us to do. If you believe that, bang your hands together. City Church, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you. May he lift up his countenance on you now and give you peace and declare to you who you are in this world and in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name, City Church, go and be blessed. I'll see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church. And you can find a easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.